You know, we hear today all kinds of people invoke the blessings of God. The past week, the leaders of Congress uttered the words, "God bless America." And of course, this was a follow-up to the circus of the political impeachment of the U.S. President of the United States President Trump. Now much of this world is caught up in the delusion of Christmas, their observance of it. People think that when they say Merry Christmas, that God is somehow involved or that he blesses their incarnations. And I use those words selectively. Brethren, all of this merely trivializes what being blessed by God can mean. We can't take God's name in vain, and I'm afraid that that is exactly what's happening among people who so easily say things like God bless America without having the backup necessary for that to actually have acceptance by God or true meaning. It's kind of a speech filler at that point. I'd like you to note something. God's blessings are the building blocks of eternity. And I'd like to show you a little bit of how that is true. God's blessings are ever increasing for those who obey him. You know, we don't pass over, we don't forget the many blessings of God which come to us each and every day. At least we shouldn't, and there are many things we do, and I know it's a practice among us, among Christians, to give God thanks, as even this service opening in prayer has shown. But today I'd like us to also consider big blessings of God, things which will transcend our very lifetimes. And to do that, I want to look at some examples and point out some big blessings, monumentally big blessings. And I'll begin with Adam and Eve in Genesis 1, verse 28. Genesis 1 and verse 28, in this story of the creation week, then God blessed them, speaking of the man and the woman, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and specifically note this, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, he didn't just say, well, I'm going to bless you, Adam and Eve, here in this small way, in this little garden, but he talks about filling the earth with their offspring, something God intended. And it wasn't an end in itself, because it was part of God's plan for increasing his own family. Had it been carried out faithfully, the story might have been written differently. But nonetheless, the story will be completed according to God's plans. Something big going on in God's realm, and blessings to match it. Let's go to Genesis 22 while we're in this book, and of course look, when it comes to blessings, to the example of Abraham. Genesis 22, verses 15 through 18. In verse 15, following Abraham's sacrifice of his son, which was done in, from Abraham's standpoint, totally, but God, of course, intervened to accept what Abraham had done. And he says, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. There's the conditional fact for mankind to consider. But again, think of what kind of a blessing, how big of a blessing that is that God's laying out here for Abraham, who is living in a tent, probably a very well designed and a very complete way of living at that time, but nonetheless not even comparable to what we get to enjoy today. And God makes this blessing that is not only for Abraham's lifetime, but for his descendants' lifetimes. Now, I'd like to quote from Ezekiel 37, verse 25, just one phrase out of that particular verse, Ezekiel 37, 25. God is inspiring some words here about David, who has been long dead. And he says, my servant David shall be their prince forever. David is here being spoken of in terms of eternity. And prince over what? Well, over Israel. And as I mentioned at the feast, that's an interesting statement because it does reveal that nations will have a role within the family of God, a structure of nations, because Israel will have to exist for this prophecy, this promise from God to be completed. Well, to be enacted. Now let's go to the example of Jesus Christ. And again, keeping in mind, I'm talking about big blessings. You know, if we get the job we want, that's certainly a big and an important blessing, or something else. If we are able to do our homework and get it in on time in school, maybe that's a real blessing if we've asked God for his help in that, which young people certainly can do. But let's notice what is said of Jesus Christ, who was faithful, just as Abraham obeyed. Ephesians 2, verses 9 and 11. Excuse me. Philippians 2, verse 9, speaking of the reward given to Jesus Christ for all that he accomplished, all that he did. Here's what is said of him. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. No one among men will be greater than Jesus Christ. These are blessings that God the Father has given and promises to give to Jesus Christ. Still unfolding promises, by the way, brethren. Well, how about us? How about Christians? Do we get big blessings ever? Is that part of the scheme of things? Or have all these big and far-reaching and epic blessings only been given to these heroes of old that we find in the pages of the Bible? Well, I think we can find ourselves in these pages if we are among those who are accounted as being faithful to God, like Abraham or Jesus Christ or King David. For Christians in 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. Here's us. And sometimes we get caught up in you know, our illnesses, our trials of life, the problems that we confront, and are always very thankful for God's deliverance and His blessings. And, you know, if you've lived a few years, you've all experienced the ups and downs of living the human life. But look at what is said about those who are obedient in these verses. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So I ask you, have we had the big blessings? Are we recipients? And will we be the recipients of the big blessings that come from God? Well, to begin with, right now, if you have God's Holy Spirit, you have eternal life. How big a blessing is that? It doesn't matter what this physical life might endure or face. Right now, brethren, you and I have been given eternal life with the gift of God's Holy Spirit. And the promise is plural, that go with it. And then to conclude, let me just reassure you how important God is in our life and how important His blessings, His big, big, big blessings are, and they certainly are that. Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. We can thank God for the things we come to Him in prayer for and the things we receive. But let's always keep this wonderful, marvelous future view in mind with the confidence that comes with these verses in Romans 8, verses 38 through 39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brethren, are we blessed by God? Words fail. But certainly the promises of God, when it comes to fulfilling His word, His promise, won't.